Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear about the news, and we'll answer some questions about the cartel market and coins, and maybe talk about why the Nexus Room Cantina only serves blue milk. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and get dumped into deep space to find his way to you. All set, EPC-04? What happened to EPC-03? Don't worry about that. You just keep recording. Hi, Seema. How's it going?
It's going great, Max. How are things with you?
Very, very good. And what have you been doing this week?
Well, let's see. This week, I spent some time playing in the bounty contract week. I've been sort of made it my mission to get each of the henchmen captured and killed, but Trubba still eludes me. I've killed him once, but I haven't captured him. So the last couple of days, I've been logging in alt after alt, trying to get him on Nar Shaddaa or Voss, and I keep getting other henchmen instead. But mostly, I've been doing the henchmen on my characters that are not yet 55, just because I'm trying to slap a little experience on them. One of them being my gunslinger, who I'm kind of have slotted to be my next character to level up. So I got treat for her. Yeah. I got a treat. I got the treat for her, which I was mentioning last week I was going to do. So I spent a little bit of time working on, you know, getting her in some gear because my gunslinger is level 35. And hi, Treek. You know, I'm one of those people. I have like every crafter, right? So my cyber tech was making some arm rings and my artifice is making some gems. And I bought the enhancements with planetary comms because they're better and cheaper. But you know,
are they? I was just leveling up artifice to make some of those.
Yeah. In the leveling. Yeah, it varies from level to level, but you can usually find enhancements with power and rather than crit and all that stuff on the planetary comms. And sometimes the ones you can make are like, you know, absorption and crit or things that you don't want.
Okay.
Plus the mats are they're tricky. I mean, they're not tricky, but it's a pain to get the mats. Like, it's always a pain to get mats. And an enhancement costs 2 planetary comms. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, that is, right now, that's what I spend all my planetary comms on while I'm leveling up, is enhancements.
Yeah.
Because I do have cyber tech, so I get the armoring and mods for me and my companions as I'm leveling up. But yeah, fill in with enhancements. That's a good idea.
And my biochem to make implants and my arms tech to make a barrel. And Treek's all ready to go. I've been using Corso all week, you know, on little bounty contracts, but I finally got the sort of background time and place to work on her gear. And she's all set. So maybe next week I'll start doing some more serious leveling. I have a little supply of experience boosts still and on some character somewhere. So I'll grab those.
Oh, that's useful too. I've got a stack of those I keep using on all my alts.
Yeah, I'm kind of addicted to them. It's like every once in a while I'll turn in a quest and I'm like, what? Only 16K? Dang, my buff ran out.
I know. And I'm trying to be conservative with them too, or just it's just a byproduct of the way I am. Now I'm like logging off right away and not just letting the characters stand around on the fleet. Hey, the clock's ticking on my boost. I can't not be gaining XP and taking advantage of this.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a pain. If it does run out, sometimes I'm like, oh, now I can just relax and stand around on the fleet and ride in circles.
As far as operations go, I got to run with SUP on Monday night. So I was guest raider with them on Monday night. We ran through story mode Terra from Beyond and story mode Taboro's Courtyard. So that was good for me. I got some comms for my alt there. And then Wednesday night, as you know, we did our 16-man Scum and Villainy. We did a thing we hadn't done before, but I'm really glad we did it because it worked out really great, which is we pugged two people because we only had 14 guildies. And so we pugged two people and that worked out great. So I hope we do more of that.
Yeah.
That was a fun evening. Although that last boss in there continues to elude us on 16 man. I'm sure we'll get him soon. It's just that it's a long fight. It comes at the end of the evening and we did get kind of a late start because we were working out all the details and, you know, getting the raid.
We lost a half hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on Thursday night, gosh, I sound hardcore, but Thursday night, we have our Taco Harder group and we're doing hard mode Terror from Beyond in there. And we pretty much have those first two bosses. You were there too. We pretty much have those first two bosses on farm, but again, recurring theme, Operator 9, we just don't have the dance down on him yet. So we had another week of attempts on Operator 9, and I know we'll get him eventually. And it's actually a fun fight. I like it. And I like, you know, working on it.
Yeah, the gap there, I think, is we can DPS just a little bit more and we do need to do the dance. And I think we were going to make an adjustment because having a couple regulators up pounding on a tank with only one DPS, DPSing them down while everyone else is focused on other things is precarious.
Yeah.
Just with that one person and the tank, you don't have enough interrupts to take care of both of them.
Right. We're going to change it up a little bit so that we have two tanks available during orange. And then, I mean, we always were going to fail on purpose in purple, but we need to clean up orange.
Otherwise, it doesn't seem too tough. I'm sure we'll get through that. We've got the first two on clearly on farm, so.
But I have to say, I enjoy that. So on Wednesday night, we're working on that last boss and TFB. And on Thursday night, we're working on Operator 9 in our hard mode group. And I got to say, that's kind of my favorite kind of raiding when you're like working it out, trying, getting a little bit further each time. You know, people sometimes have ideas or, you know, I like that part. So it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, I did go back to the PTS. So after our podcast last week, I did get a couple comments. Gadok Teague is a guy who does the unnamed SWTOR podcast. And he said, hey, if you do go on Oricon on the PTS, it's all active. What you got to do is you got to do a little bit of the story quest to unlock the dailies. And then you can get into those areas that I was talking about. I did do that. I did get a look at the dailies. I got a look at the intro storyline, which leads up to the assault on the Dread Fortress. And it's good. I like the little quest lead up, the little story. The areas look pretty good. The dailies look reasonable. I don't do all that many dailies, but I'll do them once or twice. And I have not gotten into the operations. We'll save that until they go live, which is what, about 2 weeks from now? I'm looking forward to them though. Yeah, that should be good. I think we're all looking forward to that. We've got more that we want to do in the current operations, obviously in the hard modes and maybe even a little bit of nightmare, but everybody's loves new content. So that should be cool. I did make a note. There was one conversation choice. No spoilers. It's when you first get there. And I don't know if it's just for Bounty Hunter, but, one of the conversation choices when you meet the quest givers on the planet is, you know, you can say, oh, you know, you don't seem to be doing a very good job or blah, 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 something else. And then one of them is, follow me if you want to live.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I had to click that one. And unfortunately, my bounty hunter didn't say it. He rambled on and said something that meant that, like, you know, yeah, you seem to have not been doing a very good job and, you know, you don't report to me, but I can lead this, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes the choices you get are more snarkily worded than what your character actually ends up saying. Sometimes a little bit.
I wanted the voiceover to be follow me if you want to live. And I wanted it just a tiny bit. The voice actor did just a tiny bit of Arnold in the back in the background of that line, and it would have been awesome. And then, yes, as you said, with all our usual groups, I don't run with SUP as much. I fill in once in a while, but we did Dar, Hard Mode, Scum and Villainy last night. That was good with our main Lords of Light group, LOL. We got Deshrood down. I think we did wipe a couple times. No particular reason. The tanks get kicked around. The bats ate through a generator once. Otherwise, Deshrood is on farm. We can get that one down without a problem. That's not really a puzzle. Titan 6 needs no allies for a reason. We're just a tiny bit light on DPS. We've got a couple gear slots that we've got to fill in with some people. That won't be a problem. We've got to tune up our rotations just a little bit. We had him down to 6%, 5%.
Yep.
A couple times.
Yeah. I totally forgot to mention that. Yeah. I like that Titan 6 fight. That's fun. It's healing intensive.
It's everything intensive. It's good. It's healing intensive. I'm really hammering my rotation to its fullest. We're dealing with the adds in a slightly different way where I'll pull one of the adds onto that when you get the pair of droids, not the big group. But you get the paradroids, I'll pull one onto myself and then continue to DPS the boss and just let the ad be on me until you hide behind the rock, and then I'll finish it off so I don't waste any global cooldowns doing extra DPS to the boss. So it's tuning up a couple things like that. We're able to get down pretty close in a couple attempts. We were under 6% twice, so I think we should be able to get it down.
And we were making great progress too, because like when we first started, you know, he enraged on us. Where he was enraging on us was getting later and later and later in the fight, if that makes sense. So like the last couple of attempts, he was already in his final phase when he enraged. So it's fun to see that kind of progress.
Yep. The first time we did it, when we first came in for the night, I think he was at about 28% when he enraged. So we were definitely cranking it up as we went. And finally, I think I mentioned last week, I wanted to roll a Marauder. I did get my sniper to 49, and then I did roll a Marauder. So my Marauder's up to about 15 now. I got a treak right away when I hit level 10. I'm spec'd Carnage right now, which is pretty good especially for single target. Rage would get you the smash. And then Annihilation is the dot spec. Carnage is a pretty standard tree. And with myself and Treak in content, that's that low level, easy content anyway, at level or slightly below my level, I'm just destroying everything. It's unbelievable. With the leap, you know, I haven't played a... I did play my Sentinel a long time ago. I haven't played my Sentinel much in a long time. I forgot how fun the leap is. I'll just leap from group to group.
I love the
drop
leap.
Drop a smash. Hammer them down. And between my smash and Treek's AoE grenade that she'll throw, we can one-shot groups of guys constantly.
And then when you get that thing where you throw your lightsaber, that's very cool too, because you throw that and then you leap, and both of them give you rage or whatever the the energy that you need to do. Yeah, so it's very cool, and I like it too. I like that style of play too, because it's typically your leap is typically up again in time for you to do the next pull. So you're just like, you know, leap kill, leap kill, leap kill, which to me is more fun than like Death from Above with the Bounty Hunter, where it's like up every other pull and in between you have to do something else.
Right. Exactly. So it is, it's great. And it's fun having two lightsabers. I haven't done a lot of lightsaber fighting. I'm very blaster, you know.
Blaster centric.
Blah, de blah. Yeah, you know, hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster, yada, yada. But I do like the two lightsabers in this spec. I like having a little bit more of that Jedi feel in some of the classes once in a while. So just hammering away with two lightsabers, slashing away is pretty satisfying. I put crystals in them. I didn't get a special hilt yet, and I didn't get legacy armor, but I did get mint green crystals. We'll talk later about, because my dude is a non-red Zabrak, and his skin is like it's as dark as you can go, but he's got green eyes glowing out of his face. So I got the green crystals, as green as I could get, and I'm going to make green his signature color.
Nice.
So it works pretty well. I do have stuck in the bank somewhere. I'm a hoarder, so I don't want to use them, but I have from the Rekul event, I have some green crystals from that event. I think they're black green. So maybe eventually I'll put those in. But I like the cartel crystals, and I'll talk about those later and why. Anyway, that's about what I've been doing, and it was awesome. But now, I guess it is time for the news, and of course...
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Poor Bothans.
I don't know why I laugh every time I think of Bothans. So, news items, not a ton of news. We don't focus on the news too heavily anyway, but we did have the bounty contract week this week. There were a couple tips that I learned about the bounty contract week, and it was one of our items last week where they altered the deal on the bounty contract week, and we got full feel of what that feels like. The key restriction now is on each character, you can only kill one henchman per day and one kingpin per day, and each kingpin per character can only be killed once per week. But you can still do a kingpin a day. You can unlock all of the kingpins and do one a day. But each kingpin, then, you can only do once a week. So if you were, say, on a fresh character, or you were just coming in new to it, and you wanted to get Dead or Alive, where you have to have each kingpin, and you need to capture and kill them, you're going to need to unlock it on two characters minimum.
I didn't find this too limiting for me, because...
To do it in one week.
I didn't max out anyway. I mean, I didn't do a kingpin every day, and I only did a couple. So for me, it's fine, because I'm really kind of enjoying a more relaxed pace on this event. I didn't do like with the Zerka rep. I ended up doing it almost all at once. I went through a flurry of wanting to do the dailies every day. And so I did that. I piled up all the rep items and I was turning them in every Tuesday until I maxed out. But on this one, I'm just taking it at a much more relaxed pace and enjoying it equally, I would say.
I agree. I did it with the Gree event. I banked all of the tokens. So after the first round of the Gree, I had enough to get to at least heroic, if not legendary. But this time I'm not. In fact, I'm only about 2/3 of the way through what would be the achievement for Wanted Dead or Alive. And I'm fine with it. I'm having a lot of fun. I like doing it on my bounty hunter more than any of my other characters, because it's a bounty hunting event.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with, you know, when I get around to it and I doing it on my bounty hunter, I'm unlocking more and more kingpins just on my bounty hunter for that reason. And it's pretty cool. It's fun. It's fun to come back to, and it's fun to look forward to it and not have blown through it all already. So it will end tomorrow, but then it'll be back next month, and I'm happy with that. Oh, one other trick and one other clarification. The kingpins on the low-level planets, Ord, Mantell, and Hutta, you can't kill henchmen there if you're above, I think it's level 25-ish, but you can kill the kingpins there. So I was afraid that we were going to need to roll a low-level character to even be able to go to those planets and mess around with the kingpins. But no, if you unlock the kingpin, either you already had it unlocked or you unlock it this round, you can go down to those planets and go and kill the kingpin.
Yes, and we did
that.
They
just don't want you. Yeah, we did. I think they just didn't want you messing around with the... getting a lot of henchmen, you know, a bunch of people going in there every day killing henchmen and people trying to have their first leveling experience with their level one characters with all these high level people messing around.
Yeah, they probably wanted to remove the whole shady character thing because it was causing a lot of fights everywhere.
Right. And then the final trick, which I haven't verified personally, But if anyone is going for wanted dead or alive, you need to kill and capture both every henchman and every kingpin. The henchmen are random. There's a few per planet that spawn. So if you know the planet you're going after where the henchman you're looking for can spawn, you may be trying it multiple days in a row trying to get that henchman you're missing. What I heard, and I'd like to try out, is that if you gather the information, you find out one henchman you're going after and it's not the one you need, if you reset the quest and start it again, you can re-get a different henchman potentially. It's still a random roll of the dice which henchman you're going to get, but you can re-get the henchman.
Oh, I may try that because, you know, my quest to get Trubba.
Exactly. So then you can potentially finish it up tonight. I don't know, it's getting late, but...
Yeah, it is getting late. I'm okay with waiting until next month.
Yeah, so am I. In other news, I didn't see this until recently, yesterday, but patch 2.3.3 is coming out this week, and there were a couple little interesting tidbits in there. We're not going to go through all the patch notes. We don't need to. But the Varactyl sounds are getting fixed. They're adjusted for distance. So all sounds in the game are adjusted by distance. The farther it is away from you, the softer and softer it gets until it's out of range and you don't hear it. The problem with the Varactyl mount sounds is every time you mount it on your Varactyl, they weren't adjusted for distance. And that's why you could be anywhere in the fleet and someone halfway across the fleet could be mounting on their Varactyl and you'd hear it as if it was standing right next to you. You'd hear a lot of this.
Yes.
So that is getting fixed, which is fine. They're adding a new cartel pack. That should be interesting. I haven't seen what's in it. Supposedly you can go already today into the cartel market interface and see what's going to be in that pack. And then there were a couple little tidbits that I found interesting that I'll have to explore at some point. One is explosive conflict. Removed or relocated several enemy encounters to improve player experience. Huh. That sounds to me... I know there's conflicting views and I haven't seen it, but it sounds to me like they're removing some trash.
I hope so. I'm excited if they are. I approve of removing trash.
Yes, they should do that in all the instances, yeah. All the operations.
Yeah. I mean, really, Terra from Beyond, do you really need to have two separate areas where you have those fights with the portals that open up in Pulse and... Yeah, let's just take one of those rooms completely out.
I think after, maybe if everyone has completed a boss or completed an ex-boss, well, I don't know. I don't know what they should do, but I know we've brainstormed. We have a thread in our guild forums that is our wall of crazy, and there's at least a couple suggestions in there for how we should be able to or allowed to get around trash or remove trash, or I think a nuke 'em from orbit once per operation to remove trash from a whole area was floated this week. So yes, less trash. And then the other thing that showed up, which I'm interested in, is under the category of macro binocular and seeker droid, there are a couple notes about seeker droids being tweaked. Galactic Solutions Industries performed a code upgrade on the seeker droids to blah, blah, blah. It sounds like you're going to get less junk. You're going to get better crafting materials and you're going to get better special treasures. In addition, it sounded like they were tweaking the enhancers, the item you use to increase the effectiveness of the seeker droid. And those enhancers now last longer and work better. I'm up for that. I like the idea of the seeker droid stuff. I liked archaeology in WoW, and I wouldn't mind doing more with the seeker droids. Here's the thing. If new special treasures... So one of the things I was thinking was, the reason I liked archaeology in WoW is there was a lot of weird stuff that you could collect that you could only get through archaeology. Certain pets, certain mounts, toys. If the new special treasures that they're talking about trends towards that, it could get me out there doing more secret droid stuff over time. How about you?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think for me, this, it would just have to work better for me to want to do it. Like I get frustrated that the hints it gives you are inaccurate to, I don't know if they're inaccurate or if they're just so vague that it, you know, you just basically are randomly putting your seeker droid out there. So if I could zero in a little bit better, maybe I'd be more interested.
I agree. In archaeology, you are directed both distance and direction is relatively accurate. In this, it seems like you have no clarification on what the distance is, and direction is accurate to within about 180 degrees. So it makes it quite difficult to narrow down.
I mean, this is so the kind of activity that I sometimes can get into. It's just the secret droid, the way it's implemented, just hasn't spoken to me, shall we say.
I agree. And finally in the news, The Amazing Race, SWTOR edition for Yacht Est. We had, I got this wrong last week. What leg are we on?
Well, this week coming up is going to be the fourth leg. So we have two more to go this week and next week.
Okay, so we did the third one, which was fun. Had to do the Datacron. Then they had to do the scavenger hunt for collected food items. And then they had to jump in the Sarlacc pit, which is where I was standing. And they had to then go find Pelel. So you were at the Datacron, right?
Right. I was at the Datacron. So basically I was there to, you know, to see that people actually, you know, made that last jump and landed, you know, right next to the Datacron. It's the Presence Datacron, by the way, not the Endurance one. So we were nice to them in that respect.
That Endurance one could take you all day.
Yeah.
If you even finish it, which I did not the first time and still haven't bothered to go back yet, which I should do. But it annoyed me.
If it was plus 10 to power, you would, I bet.
I would. Yes, I would. You are correct. I liked the scavenger hunt part. In this part, each of the food items that people could collect were found in different places, and some of them were only found in certain places, certain cantinas. Most of it was food items, and each of them was worth an unknown number of points. You had to have a minimum number of items to reach the next roadblock, but if you had more, then those points counted. We'll be more clear if we do that kind of thing again on exactly what the rules are for the minimum and maximum and how much time you have and how much the time limits are. It wasn't clear to everyone this round, but once you sort of explain it all that way, I liked the mechanic and I think it worked pretty well.
Yeah, I liked it too.
And then you'd go jump in the Sarlacc pit because everyone who hasn't jumped in the Sarlacc pit yet does not have the worm food title, which is excellent. And then you have to go find Pelel, and he gives you a haiku that explains where he is somewhere in the galaxy, and you have to go chase him down, do a special emote of some kind that he would like to see you do, show off your new title, and end the race. So everyone is through leg three now. We've got two more legs. There's plenty of points to be had. It's been pretty fun. It's been a learning experience also. I would love to see us do this, and I know it's Pel's idea to potentially do this for the server and make it a public event in the future. At the soonest, it would be a couple months from now. Give it some time to settle. Let us adjust with what we've learned and set it up with plenty of time. But I think it would be great.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that goes.
Okay. Next, we are going to answer some questions. We've gotten questions over time. One of our guildies is sent this question that we're going to answer this week, but we are going to use our Yoda-like knowledge to bless you with our information that may or may not be accurate.
Right.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
You better try. Okay, so Arvachette was asking, what do you think of the cartel market, and what about the black die for 2K credits? And I know what he's thinking. The root of his question is the black die, and that was crazy. And this was a couple weeks ago. And if for people that don't know, that was introduced to the cartel market, and it's a crazy number of coins. That's what he meant, 2K cartel coins. It's a crazy number of coins that equals out to about $15 to $18 for black dye. What do I think of that? Well, I'll talk about it, and Seema, you can talk about it. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the cartel market in general. But I think the cartel market is great. I think it's done well. I think it helps monetize the game. And from what I can tell, in terms of the content that's being released and what seems to be the support that development has, the development team has to continue to develop the game, the cartel market seems to be doing its job. Almost everything in the cartel market is either an unlock for non-subscribers or toys and cosmetic items. There is no pay-to-win aspect of the cartel market at this point. There's no special gear that you can only get through the cartel market and it's the best in slot. There's none of that. Almost all of the gear that you can get is either lower level gear or it's just the adaptive shells. It's the cosmetics. So I'm fine with that too. I like the toys. I'm also fine with the black dye. It's $15, $18. There was some uproar on the forums. Boy, this is crazy. That's too expensive. However, people were paying for it, for one. And for two, they said that they didn't remove it because of criticism, but they removed it because they wanted to just dump it in for a little bit of time. After they took the black dye out, which was only about a week and a half later, there was people clamoring for, where's the black dye that I wanted to buy? So obviously there are people out there that want to buy it. There are people in WoW, you can pay $25 for a mount, a flying mount, and plenty of people do it. If there's a market for it and it helps fund the game and people find it interesting and some people want to pay for that and be unique, that sounds fine with me. I wouldn't do it. I didn't buy a Sparkle Pony when I was playing WoW. I won't buy black dye for $15. If somebody has it on the GTN at some point, I could see myself doing that. But I'm fine with it as it is. So what is your answers to Arbuchet's questions?
I guess my feeling on the black dye for $15 is that, you know, why not see if you can get $15 for it? And if that works and you hit the number that you need to hit in terms of sales and revenue, then go for it. But you might find no, people are not willing to pay that. And then you try maybe a different price with maybe a different dye. But you know, why not go for it? That's what I think. And if people don't want to pay it, then your guess was too high. It sounds like people were paying it. I think in general, that the cartel market is a very positive thing for the game. I've tried a couple of other games, you know, like we all have, and most games have some pay aspect like the cartel market. And I actually think that the one for SWTOR is pretty nice. It's easy to access. I really like that almost everything, if not everything, is tradable. So it can be sold on the GTN, or you can buy it as gifts, or you can sell it in trade or whatever. Or you can be like me. I rarely spend cartel coins. I prefer to buy things on the GTN. So it gives me a chance to take advantage of everything that's on this in the cartel store, but in my preferred way of paying for it, which is credits. And you know, I feel like with my subscription, I pay, that's what I want to pay is my subscription. I don't want to pay more. So I'm not going to be buying cartel coins. So I'm not the market for that part of it, but people do buy cartel coins and their subscribers that do it too. I think most of them are subscribers that do it. So I say more power to them.
Yeah. Okay. I think we agree on that. I'm a subscriber as well. I haven't bought any cartel coins themselves. I have about 8,000 cartel coins because I tend not to spend them. The only other couple points I'll make on the cartel coins themselves is there are a few things that you can only buy with cartel coins. So it's good to have cartel coins on hand for that. That would be server transfers and things like cosmetic updates. If you are preferred, You may want to save up some coins or have coins on hand for some of the unlocks. The one thing I do like that they've done with the cartel coins is the unlock for legacy things in your collections. So I bought off the GTN a mint green crystal for my lightsaber. If you're a two-handed lightsaber wielder, get one legacy crystal. As soon as you use it, it will end up in your collections. Go to your collections tab and you can get as many copies of that as you need. I ended up getting three more copies, two for Treek and one more for my other hand, off of just buying one off the GTN for one. For two, now I could spend 600 coins and every other character could have mint green crystals coming out their ears across my legacy. So that kind of thing I think is pretty useful. I could see myself unlocking my Rakdyl mount eventually across all my characters, for example.
Yeah, and I did that for Treek. I unlocked Treek in that with cartel coins. I mean, not the original one, but yeah. So that then I can get her out of collections for all my other characters if I want. And I probably will want.
Excellent. So yeah, I think in general, we like the cartel market because we like the effect that it's bringing to the game. And I guess I also like the fun factor. Everybody gets excited once a new cartel pack drops, even though it was criticized in the beginning because it was for pay as the cash shop. But everybody likes the little toys and new mounts and dances and emotes. And I'm all for that. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I like it. People buy their cartel packs, get their cool stuff, bring them to ops. Then I get to see them. Then in a couple of days, I go look for them on the GTN.
Exactly. Yeah. I wait till it gets unlocked and end up on the GTN and I buy them for credits. So any other questions, anyone?
But tell me why I can't.
No, there is no why. Nothing more will I teach you today. Clear your mind of questions.
So that's all the questions for today.
Such wisdom.
Well, little EPC04 here is all filled up and ready to join his brethren out in the galaxy. And we are ready to go. Thanks for tuning in. For feedback, comments, or questions for future casts, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESIMA, or come play with us on Jedi Covenant. For Alia Yakta Est AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org and submit an application, or find us on Facebook at AIESPOTOR. Talk to you soon.
Good night, everyone.